world. It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey, aka the Deep State. That was for Susan Price, who's I'm sure listening right now and laughing. She gave me that nickname the other day, and we don't need to get too far into why, but it's aka the Deep State from here on out. But I'm back again, episode 70. Just had Stefan Marbury on last week, which was dope. So if you haven't listened to that, please go back and give that a listen after this, of course. But back on from hiatus, my boy was shocked when he responded to my text message. I thought he had forgotten all about me again. But now we got Spencer Dinwiddie in the cut. Spencer, how you feeling, sir?
Man, I'm good. Look, man, I never forget about you, man. We brothers from... You know what I'm saying? Another mother. So
yeah, until you get that contract and it's like Lambo who?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. You just had the legend Stefan in here, man. I gotta keep the legacy going.
Yeah. Big Starberry shoes to fill, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Nah, but Steph was cool, man. It was like, I mean, just speaking personally, one of my favorite players as a kid. And it was just cool, you know. It's always always a pleasure to meet people you looked up to as a kid, and was happy to see that he was he's doing well, seems healthy, and still prospering out here at 40, which is something we can only hope to do.
Exactly, still rolling at 40 over there, man.
Yeah, but anyway, what's good with you, man? How was Cali? I know you were out there for a bit.
Yeah, it was good. You know what I'm saying? They gave us the week off for Labor Day. Coincidentally, it was also my mom's birthday on the 3rd, so
got shout to go out to out her there. Happy birthday,
shout out moms, you know what I mean. Got to go out there, spend time with the family, which, you know what I'm saying, obviously the older me and my little brother get and kind of get out of the house, the more it's at a premium. So being able to do that for a birthday was really cool.
Is your brother who
brother
play?
No, he doesn't. Computer engineering. He's hopefully, you know what I'm saying, he owns Apple or creates a company that rivals Apple or something one day.
Yeah, there's always the one smart one in the family.
Exactly.
Nah, that's great, though. So what else you been up to, man? We probably haven't seen each other since, like, I think maybe August, late July, something like that.
Probably
so
something like that.
I mean, anything but ball this summer? You take any trips or anything?
Nah, nothing. I mean, I went to Turks early in the year, but, I mean, really after that, it's been nose to the grindstone, you know what I mean? It's just consistent effort, staying in the gym, especially trying to out here in Brooklyn, trying to be in front of coaches, trying to get that work in and obviously have a productive season.
Yeah. So everyone's back. So Mozgov, right?
Yep. Everybody but Mozgov.
Yeah. And everyone, I mean, I feel like you guys had a busy summer. Individually. Opened the juice spot.
Exactly.
Didn't come on this podcast, which is all good. We still got love for him. I know Isaiah had the big event out in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Obviously, D-Lo played up at Dykeman.
Winner.
So, I don't know. It's cool. You guys are really out here, man.
Definitely. I mean, shoot. Individually, we had big summers. Obviously, getting everything done. People starting businesses, like you said. And then, obviously, as a unit, management, obviously, we're a completely different team. So, they had a big summer as well. So, we're all looking forward to it. Sorry.
All good.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, we're excited too, man. But, you know, you spoke a little bit about your family earlier and being back in Cali. And you posted on your Instagram that you donated $10,000 to the Hurricane Harvey relief effort. So first of all, props to you. And then you said you had some connection to Houston. What was it or what is it?
Yeah. So, you know, occasionally in the summer, I spend my time out there, and then also I have friends and family out there. So, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, obviously anytime natural disaster hits, you oftentimes see the best out of humans in general, just pulling together and banding together and helping each other out. And, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily being able to go there and donate my time. I felt like it was very important and critical for me to donate and help in any way that I can. And in conjunction with my family's foundation, we just felt like that was the number we settled on, and that was the best course of action going forward.
That's awesome, man. And, yeah, you know, you're right. It's a shame that the worst brings out the best in people, but, you know, at least something good has happened came from it with people donating their time, money, resources, everything. So I guess prayers up for everyone out in Houston.
For sure.
Not to get too, like, crazy over here, but prayers up to everyone who's potentially will be impacted by the hurricane that's coming this week.
Oh, yeah. So, Irma from Miami.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're here to talk ball. So,
exactly.
So, had to take a little detour, but just wanted to, you know, make sure that you made it known that you made an effort to donate when you could and where you could, and just wanted to shout you out for that. So
thanks,
shout
man.
Outs to you. But obviously the big news, Kyrie Irving IT trade. That's quite the pivot, right? You go from hurricane to
no, I know. It's a blockbuster trade.
But I know that caught me and pretty much everyone by surprise. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure it did the same to you, but what was your initial reaction when you heard it was going down?
That's tough. That's honestly tough. I mean, I think Celtics, obviously, this whole offseason have made moves with the future, but also the present in mind. Obviously, Kyrie's young point guard, obviously, already done big things on a big stage. And I think going forward, obviously, superstar potential, whatever you want to call it, combined with Gordon Hayward and Al Horford, I think, you know, obviously they're going to be potent and dangerous going forward. So I think the Celtics set themselves up to do big things. And then obviously the Cavs, I mean, you lost a 25-point scorer and got
30-point
scorer. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's interesting. And you added depth with Jay Crowder. So I think it's beneficial for both sides. And you can kind of see the mentality behind both sides. I think still at the end of the day, I mean, if we're keeping it a buck, there's one person that's been to the Eastern Conference Finals every year for the last, what,
something like that
7 years or something. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the road to the finals leads, well, even Eastern Conference Finals, et cetera, leads through him. And so he's in Cleveland right now. And if he's in full form, it's going to be great to see how people challenge him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And, I mean, I feel like things are just getting nuttier and nuttier from, like, a trade perspective.
Yeah.
Because everyone's chasing the Warriors, and you got to load up.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I think the biggest thing that the Warriors did with the formation of their team and KD going there, it's really made teams have to choose. Like, are we going to chase them? Or are we just going to get really young and try to develop and maybe be better in the future?
You put it way more polite than I did. I mean, they're going
to
suck.
To me, it's real. I mean, obviously, being in the NBA, so knowing – everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of guys that's in there, no NBA player sucks. You know what I mean?
So no, of course.
Everybody's good. Everybody can play. But it just makes teams really have to draw that hard line. It's not enough to just be good. Maybe you win win this series or win that series and get to the finals or this, that, and the third. Or conference finals, sorry, this, that, and the third. But it's really made teams choose, like, all right, can we beat the Warriors? You know what I'm saying? Not because if you can't, what are you going for? Because the end goal is always a championship. It's not to get to the playoffs, to, you know what I'm saying, get to the conference finals. It's to win a championship. That's what every player plays for. And so teams really have been in that mode of like, okay, we're going after them and we're loading up and we're going to throw the kitchen sink at whatever situation we have, or we'll just be real young and we'll figure it out, you know what I'm saying, in a couple of years.
Well, and I also think that it's not only can we beat the Warriors with this move, it's does this move set up another move to potentially beat the Warriors? Like, for I feel sure. like the Cavs getting the Brooklyn pick, your pick.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is speaking totally and unbiased. I know we got a good relationship, but yeah. I think you guys are going to be a lot better than people expect this year.
Yeah.
Just looking at the roster, the coaching for staff, sure. et cetera. So that's not, like, as appealing as it may have been two years ago. But, you know, I think – you know, you already hear reports that the Cavs are
chopping
that pick. Yeah. So it's all about, you know, and they could get Dwayne Wade. Who knows? So I feel like it's all about the move before the move. Or
for sure.
Yeah. So
for sure. And I think to your point, obviously it's not necessarily a surefire number one. I mean, obviously we expect to be a whole lot better. Mm. I mean, we're fighting. I mean, and want to go to the playoffs. But just in terms of the pick, I mean, yeah. I mean, if LeBron is in Cleveland, obviously, for the rest of his career. I mean, he's not interested, I'm assuming, in playing with the number one pick. I mean, I don't know the man, so I can't speak for him, but very akin to the Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Love situation. You know what I'm saying? He wanted the established veteran to play with, felt it would help him win a championship, which it did. You know what I'm saying? And Wiggins obviously got moved to Minnesota. So it, I mean, I think it's a very similar situation in that respect.
Yeah, and I mean, LeBron's got, I mean, we keep saying he's got so many years left. He's 31, right? 31, 32, something like that.
Probably something like that, yeah.
I mean, he hasn't showed any signs of slowing down, so it's impossible to believe that, or silly to believe that it's going to be this year that all of a sudden he just stops.
I mean, hey, it's like this. Father Time is undefeated, so the LeBron's not, you know what I'm saying, immune to that. When it happens, no one knows. It will happen. I mean,
happens to all of us.
Yeah,
man.
It happens to everybody.
Happened to me a lot quicker than I thought it would.
Nah, Father Time's undefeated, but I mean, as long as you can put it off and put it to the side, I mean, more power to you.
Yeah, and I think as far as Isaiah Thomas goes, that's personally one of my favorite players in the league. Not just because I did a big story on him, but also just, you know, he's so fun to watch. He has such a great story.
Yeah.
He's just like seems like a cool dude.
Yeah.
Which factors in for me. I can't speak for everyone else, but my reasons for liking players are maybe different than everyone else's. But, you know, and he did a lot for the city and for the team of Boston.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of feels like they just kind of kicked him to the curb a little bit. But kicking someone to the curb to go to a team that's been to the finals
contender,
3 years, you know, it's a little different than winding up in, like, I don't know, Charlotte or something.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, for me, it's definitely tough. I mean, I understand he was very invested. And once again, I don't know Isaiah Thomas, but in terms of everything I've heard, I've heard he was very invested, obviously, in the community, the whole nine. So I'm sure it had to be tough. And then obviously him playing immediately after the tragedy and his family, you know what I'm saying? Obviously he gave his heart and soul to the group. I think the problem for players is always just the inconsistency from the fans. You know what I'm saying? It's not so much, I think, even being now being traded sucks, and it doesn't feel good because I've been traded before. I've also been cut before. But it's not so much even the being traded or the whole situation in terms of leaving a franchise always, like not always, but it's the when they trade you for you to still get your jersey burned. It's like
so
you have
stupid.
Absolutely zero control over it.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. It's like, you know what I'm saying, if your boss walked into your house or walked into your office and fired you, and then the next day, you know what I'm saying, the people in your office had a bonfire, you know what I'm saying, at your desk, like, you'd be like, it's just tough, you know what I'm saying? And not from a situation of they don't like you as a person, because obviously in the office they know you more intimately, so it's a little bit different. But I'm just saying, like, he had absolutely no control over that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then obviously there's no backlash on the people who actually had control, but then if you choose in free agency to go somewhere, you still get your jersey burned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we actually had a conversation before we got hopped on this podcast about how sometimes you roll the dice because you know no matter which answer comes up,
it
like
it applies to all walks of life.
It's
man.
All walks of life. Like when you're put in a situation where you know the reaction is negative, you're like, I mean, what do you do? Like, you're at a loss.
Well, I feel like if that's going to be the case, whether you get traded or you sign as free agency, like, fuck it. It doesn't matter what you do. You might as well just jump.
Get what you
want. You know, if you a big-time free agent and you want to leave, whatever, they're going to treat me the same no matter what happens.
And then you know what happens?
No.
You're Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you do what you want. You're happy with yourself. You win a championship, finals MVP, right? And then, I mean, people still hate you, but he's living his life. He's living his best life right now. So
I mean, honestly, like, the way he's done is doing interviews now, he just, like, doesn't give a damn anymore. I feel like when he first, you know, when he was with the Thunder and he was always trying to not necessarily make people happy and say the right things, but
trying to toe the line.
Exactly. And now he's just like, whatever, you can't tell me shit. I just want finals MVP. Like, my move paid off way better than I could have even dreamt. So,
hey.
And now he's what? Arguably the best player in the league. Like, it's probably between him
living
and Bron
his
at this
best
point, right?
life.
Yeah, I love it, man. And, like, he's totally, as much as it sucks for, you know, someone in my position, he's totally bypassing the whole media now. He's doing, like, his old YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, taking full control of his career and life. And it's the future. Like,
player autonomy.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I feel like Bron and Wade and Bosch, like, set the table for a guy like KD to make that move. And, but I feel like his situation was different because of social media. Like,
for sure. I mean, I think it's been a constant evolution. You can go all the way back to Dr. J. He's probably the first person that had like a brand. Throwback. No, yeah. I'm just saying, like at least in my mind, and I may not be the most fluent in the explicit history of basketball, right? But to me, Dr. J was the first person to have like kind of his own real brand. Like he was like cool, you know what I mean?
He wasn't Julius Erving. He was, you know, Dr. J.
Exactly. He was Dr. J. And then, I mean, Magic being an entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying? Kind of having some people start to elevate their thought process, you know what I'm saying? MJ being bigger than the game. Like, you know, so there's always going to be turning points. There's always going to be those milestones and stepping stones, and the people that come next, if they do it right, you know what I'm saying? They're going to step on that stone and hopefully create a new one for the for the person that comes next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I got nothing else to add to that. I think you hit it right on the head. So, shouts to KD, man. Got to shout him out.
For sure.
But I don't know if you saw it, Lonzo Ball. He's got his – well, speaking of players taking control, he's got his own reality show now on Facebook, Ball and the Family. I don't know if you watched it at all.
Nah.
I was surprisingly riveted by the first episode. I was shocked at how good it was. Your boy made a very brief cameo. Me.
Boy. You were in it?
They had like – so they brought cameras to the Slam Draft Suite.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
They had like an overhead shot, and you saw me and Adam – standing there with our faces blurred out. It looked like we were like had just robbed the 7-Eleven. Looked like the security footage. So, but yeah, I'm in it, man. I made a cameo.
That's dope.
But in it, you know, he caused headlines all last week because he said, and I quote, actually, I'm going to drop the audio into this because I want everyone to hear it. But he said, "No one listens to Nas anymore. Real hip hop is Future and Migos."
Y'all outdated, man. Don't nobody listen to Nas no more. Real hip hop is Migos, Future.
And people like freaked out, and I mean, if you're surprised at a 19-year-old kid saying that Nas is irrelevant, like, you gotta get out more, man. Hey,
that's my thing. So, I mean, me personally, obviously, I disagree, but you gotta remember. So,
disagree with me or Lonzo?
No, disagree with Lonzo on the Nas comment. But you also gotta remember, like he said, the 21 Savage album was better than Jay-Z. I mean, this is. All right, so here's
I think Jahad agrees, man.
Oh my God, no. So here's the thing. Like once again, like to your point, he's 19. He's gonna like things that 19-year-olds like. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, we're not far in age, so I'm not speaking on him as if he's like some little child. But you know, he's gonna like things that 19-year-olds like. And then also, to be fair, I mean, their family kind of has a track record for the shock value. You know what I'm saying? Statement. So. For everybody to continue to be like, oh my God, the Ball family said what? It's like, you know, they know they can say wild ass stuff because you're going to react to it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like anybody can say something like that. You know what I mean? Like it's not that far fetched. You know what I'm saying? Coming from a young kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, I disagree. I think obviously Nas is one of the greats. That's my personal opinion.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think he meant that Nas isn't real hip hop, and I just think he meant he's not current, which
he's
is
not,
true.
Yeah,
because he hasn't released an album in 5 years.
For
he's
sure.
still, you know, releasing songs, and he signed Dave East, so he's definitely still relevant in the business side of things, I guess.
Yeah.
But as an artist, like no high school kid is really like checking for the Nas album. It's just facts.
Yeah.
And but I mean, for me personally, Nas was probably one of my like five favorite rappers ever around there. But even I'm like, kind of just whatever. I'm not really looking for the new Nas album. Like I'm way more interested in a younger artist and seeing what they bring than hearing like I felt the same thing about Jay-Z. Like, do I really need to hear a 45, 46-year-old man rap?
and I mean, obviously, too. One thing about rap is it's usually a very personal and introspective. Talent and project that you put out. So if you listen to Jay-Z and what he's talking about now, he's talking about his family, he's talking about Beyonce, he's talking about, you know what I'm saying, all the struggles of a 45-year-old man. Like,
well, he's also talking about the $1 billion he has, and well, I really can't relate
that too, but
to
I'm
that
just saying, like, there's for a 19-year-old kid, whether it's Lonzo, whether it's anybody, like, how are you really going to relate to that? You know what I'm saying? You're usually not at 19 going to have, you know what I'm saying, three kids, and
you still have a life experience.
You don't have the same life experience, so you're not going to identify with that. But if you know what I'm saying? Migos or Future is talking about hanging out with their boys and just kicking it and, you know what I'm saying, driving a nice car. Like, that's what a 19-year-old NBA player is probably doing. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, and I mean, it's like, you know, when I was 19, I wasn't listening to like the Sugar Hill Gang and stuff like that. I was listening to, you know, like Cassidy and Jadakiss and, yeah, you know, people who were hot at that time. So it's just, I think it was just a big generational gap thing. Yeah. I was surprised by how much traction it got, more than anything.
Hey, the traction has a whole lot more to do with who it is than what was said.
So you think they're just trolling? He was trolling a little bit, or nah? Or do you think he just said it because he said it like kind of haphazardly? So.
But that's the thing. Like, so I don't know him explicitly, but
right,
if he's extremely intelligent or even above average intelligence, which I mean, assuming by his play style, he probably is. He knows,
mm-hmm,
so he knows like what he can or cannot say, and he knows like, okay, this hot take, I can retract it if I need to, but if I put it out there, like, everybody's gonna go crazy, and I might get a couple more followers, I might get a couple more people buying my shoe. Like, it's the blueprint for what they've done this whole time.
That sounds exhausting, man.
I'm just saying.
I can't imagine, like, everything you say being turned into something.
You gotta remember, like, when for example, when his dad said he could beat Michael Jordan, like, what bad is coming from that? Yeah. Like, because Michael's like, man, whatever. So you're not actually disrespecting a great. You know what I'm saying? Because he doesn't care.
Well, he got Mike to respond, so it was a win for LeVar.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's my point. Like, even in the response, you get more followers. You know what I'm saying? Like, is Mike's life going to seriously be now controlled by LeVar? Of course not.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But you get some more traction. You get some more social media followers. You might get a couple more people buying your shoe. Like, that's all it's doing.
Yeah. So, speaking of shoes, what do you think about LaMelo's sneaker and I mean, a high school player in general having a signature shoe?
High school player in general having a signature shoe, super dope. I say go for it. I say have your brand, control your brand, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for that. Personally, as a guy who really likes sneakers, no, real, like, I'm gonna be completely honest.
Do it, man. Roll those dice.
No, I mean, yeah, it was just like brand black shoe.
Yeah.
Like, the exact carbon copy is, like, obviously they took the mold for that and just switched up like a couple colors and prints and whatnot. So in that respect, I wasn't impressed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the actual like having his own shoe in high school, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Go for it. I mean, and I saw the report about the eligibility thing. Like, if you a top 10 pick, who cares? You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to go to college and that's not a requirement, like, in your household, then go and be a top 10 pick. Like, that's, do what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's only entering his junior year, so it still baffles me that he's only 16 years old. And, you know, the way things, 2 years from now, so much could change. You know,
for sure.
The one and done rule might be done.
For sure.
We might be back to players being able to go straight from high school to the league. So, I mean, if you, like, the way, you know, you're, as an NBA player, or a basketball player in general, your earning power and the peak of your, you know, career, professional career, at least from on-court, is age, what, like 18 to 33, 34?
Yeah.
Maybe. So, yeah, you know, and for someone like me,
18, 33,
who doesn't play a professional sport, like, my potential career is twice that.
Yeah.
So you got to get it while you can.
And that's the thing, like, people don't realize, if education is what you sincerely value and you really want to get an education in this whole nine, right, why can't you go to college at 35?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or even if you go to the league, right? Even if you roll those dice, you go to the league, you're a top 10 pick, let's say you make in your first 4 years, which is usually what first round picks get, even if they're not any good, they get 4 years, say average of $2-3 million a year. So you're at $12 million. We won't even include endorsements. So after taxes, you're looking at maybe $7 million, right? What kid is not gonna want to go back to college with $7 million?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that, it's just smart math. Like, if at $7 million, you can live off the interest for the rest of your life while going to school. You can graduate, you can leave, you can start whatever job you want if you want to start a job, but you still don't have to do much of anything because you're living off interest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for people to be mad and to say this or that, I mean, because they use the extreme scenarios where people have declared it as a high schooler and failed and never got picked up and this, that, and the third. They made a life decision. They rolled those dice. They lost.
Mm.
But there's also Kobe. You know what I'm saying? There's T-Mac. There's KG. Like, there's a lot of other cases that to the contrary. I mean, you kind of just, you can't always control people, and you're not always going to know what's best for people. That's between them and their family.
Yeah, and those success and stories and failures, that could happen in any business.
Exactly.
It's no different than, you know, starting a startup, getting some investment money, and flopping in a couple of years. It's literally no different.
Exactly.
No different. It's just a matter of choice. And if you're blessed and good enough to play professional basketball when you're 18 years old, there's absolutely no reason you should have to go to college. I just don't get it. Like we were talking earlier, the moment you step on that floor, your draft stock is taking a dive. Even if you're the projected number one pick, they're going to find out something that's wrong.
For sure.
So, I don't know. So, I mean, I just wonder what it's going to mean if other kids are going to start to follow LaMelo's model and, you know, get their own sneakers and their own brands and really do thing, you know, start being entrepreneurs at 17 instead of wait until they're, you know, 20, 21.
I mean, why not? If you can monetize yourself, why not?
Yeah, I mean, the only issue is the NCAA is always going to be on some bullshit. But the eligibility, like, God forbid people get a little money when they can. But,
I know, right?
But that's for another day. But, you know, you had a – I always got to do a little deep dive on your Twitter before you come through just because I know I could find a little nugget in there. But
for sure.
I saw that you – what was it that California has the best basketball players by far?
Oh, I said most.
Most. Professional.
Most professional basketball players. But, I mean, what state is better? Quality, quantity? I mean, pretty much we got it all for you. I mean, people started talking about basketball players per 10,000 and this, that, and the third because we're obviously a big state with a large population. But
who was doing that math?
Not me. Not me. I wasn't doing all that division and whatnot. But still, like, we got the most.
Yeah.
By far, like it's not even remotely close. So yeah. I mean, I'm rolling with my state. I mean, we get, and that's, I think the whole thing started because one of my friends that I used to play with when I was little said, you know what I'm saying, basically they're always calling California basketball players soft, but we get more people in the league than anybody. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's true.
It's facts.
It's a fact. Yeah. Like that they're, it's a fact. There's no emotion in, you know what I'm saying, in that statement. It's a fact. Like, he's asking a question. Like, if we're so soft, why do we have the most basketball players in the league?
I don't get why people, I guess, care so much. I mean, I guess it's like it's like a pride thing just to say, you know, I'm from New York or from California, from Chicago.
For sure.
We got the best ballers. But I don't know. I kind of feel like it's the same thing with, like, 2K ratings. Like, I don't get why people care about that so much.
Yeah. No, so from obviously from that perspective in terms of 2K, I don't think NBA guys are, like, super crazy about it. You know what I'm saying? But it is, like you said, a pride thing. It's like, it's like that little nugget. You're just kind of like, dang, 73? You're like, man, because then they ask you, like, what should you be? And I'm like, well, if we go to Synergy.
I mean, I should be 99.
And the advanced stats, I mean, look, I'm top 10 in this category. I'm only 24. Like, I can, you know what I'm saying? You can list off a whole bunch of things and say you should be higher. But, you know what I'm saying, a lot of that has to do with who you are as a player, your brand, like, your standing in the league, your the perception around everything. So, you understand, like, you can't really control any of that. And a lot of it is just due to outside stuff and built to sell games. I mean, it's what it's all about.
Yeah. Wait, who the hell is Ronnie 2K?
He's like the dude that, like, runs it, I guess. I
love that no one really knows.
Yeah, no, I don't actually know his, like, like specific job title.
Yeah.
I just know that he's, like, I guess, like, well, an important guy with 2K, and he always gives me my rating. So that's where that comes from, but I don't know his actual job title.
Maybe he's just, like, the liaison between 2K and the players. Yeah,
he might
be. But it's weird because I feel like, I don't know, people are always hitting him up on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just funny because he's like, no one's really done, like, the Ronnie 2K story yet.
Nah.
So I don't know. Maybe we got to have him on the pod. Maybe.
You got to.
Yeah.
Give him a slam.
Yeah. And I'll be like, why'd you rate Spencer Dinwiddie as 73?
Exactly. Exactly.
Haven't you looked at Synergy?
3-1 assist to turnover ratio for his career. Come on, guys. Come on.
Oh, man. But shout out to the USC Trojans. You were out there last Saturday.
Yeah.
Sitting in the 110-degree heat at the Coliseum.
Crazy.
How was that?
Crazy. Once again, I mean, that was all about family time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was great. My mom graduated from there. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, and so she loves going. And obviously, I grew up a Trojan. I was there for the Reggie Bush days, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it was kind of just that little slice of, like, I'm saying, I guess just nostalgic kind of. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I was actually thinking about you the other day. I was watching a game and the commercial came on. It was like a PS4 commercial and it was all college football, like coaches and athletes.
Okay.
And then they kind of left it like a cliffhanger at the end. And I was like, are they bringing back NCAA football for PS4? And I was like,
wow.
Maybe Spencer has some intel. I don't know.
Wow. No, I don't have any intel. College football was for sure my favorite game
by far
growing up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know actually there's some folks trying to develop a college football game right now. I doubt it was their commercial. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But I'd love to see it back. As I've said on Twitter before, I mean, like I said, it was my favorite game growing up. So.
Yeah. Word. So what do you care about the NFL at all?
I care about the NFL. Yes. It's hard when your favorite team is not good. So
who's your squad?
49ers.
Oh, y'all be back, though.
Yeah.
Wait, why? Not the Los Angeles Rams?
No. So, here's the thing. When I was kind of choosing favorite team and growing up and stuff and picking a Cali team and whatnot, like, yeah, part of it was a little bit rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started just, like, really kind of liking them because everybody was Oakland Raiders fan. And obviously the Rams were still in St. Louis then. So, that wasn't even really on my mind. Like, I'm like, probably what 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody in the house Oakland Raiders, and I'm like, man, I don't want to be an Oakland Raiders fan. Everybody's an Oakland Raiders fan. So I'm gonna be a 49ers fan. You know what I'm saying?
So you're a 49ers fan.
Yeah.
You had a good run.
Yeah, it was all right for a second.
I don't know, man. I've really lost interest in the NFL the last few years with all the concussion stuff. It's tough knowing that these guys are going out there and totally sacrificing their bodies for not a long period and for, in the grand scheme, very little money. So,
exactly. It definitely makes you look at it different, for sure.
Yeah, and then the whole Kaepernick thing, it's just like, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah.
It's tough to, because I played football when I was for 10 years, 3rd through 12th grade, and like loved it. Like,
okay.
Was obsessed, you know. And then I don't know, just kind of, I guess as I've gotten older and more woke, kind of paying attention to everything going on behind the scenes, and I don't know, it's tough to get excited about it when you kind of see what's going on. But I don't know, what do you think about everything with Kaepernick? Or like, do you even really think about it that often? Do you care?
No, of course you care because, I mean, as an athlete, as somebody who, you know what I'm saying, wants very much to see not only his people but all people be in a position of equality and to succeed and have the same type of platform. So to see what's happening is tough. And to speak on his ability, I mean, I think obviously his ability speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of, if not the most potent scrambling quarterback in the league, and he was also a very solid passer. So I think when you combine those two attributes, it made him and makes him a starting caliber NFL quarterback. So for, you know what I'm saying, a starting caliber NFL quarterback to not have a job, and he's not old, obviously it's tough to see.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Spencer Dinwiddie saying he should have it, or it's tough to see that he doesn't have a job because he's skilled. It's like Cam Newton saying that he's skilled and should have a job.
Yeah.
It's, you know, legit
exactly.
superstar NFL players saying this guy should
Aaron
have
Rodgers.
A job. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is probably best quarterback in the league. You know what I mean? So he's saying it. So once again, obviously I'm not an expert at football, but just from the outside looking in and seeing ESPN run the QBR numbers and all these other, I'm saying, analytical numbers, it doesn't make sense from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously, you know, you can never control management. Management is going to do its thing and what it feels is best for its team, and that's what we're seeing. They're making decisions they feel are best for their squad, and you just kind of got to roll with it as a player.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, season's only like 6 weeks out, man. It came up. It's creeping up.
Yeah.
I love it. So I know you got all the guys back. Mm-hmm. Is everyone getting excited, or is it still a little
too
early? Yeah.
Nah, for sure. I think because everybody's in the gym working hard, you know what I'm saying, and just kind of doing their thing, I think everybody's getting excited. And I spoke to this, I forgot where, but we just have a lot of guys who were kind of cast off a little bit or underrated for most of their career. I mean, Sean and Jay Lynn had a bond of the whole undrafted thing. You know what I'm saying? D'Lo with the Lakers thing, obviously.
Damari.
We've got a lot of guys with a lot of story and a lot of passion behind what they're doing because of that history and that story. So we got a lot of guys fighting for to come together and fighting to do something special. And I think that's where people are going to underestimate us. I think we're going to be a lot more potent offensively with obviously three-point shooting as a unit. And I think we're just going to play very hard, and we're going to be in the mix for – you know what I'm saying, for the playoffs, and that's, I mean, obviously our goal.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, speaking of that, like, from a media perspective, if you guys get off to even a decent start,
yeah,
it's going to be like, wow, the Nets are actually cool and young good and, like, got all these random pieces. And,
exactly.
You know, it's gonna be cool, and I have a lot of faith in you guys, and I'm super excited. But when do one-on-one start, or have you guys been playing a one-on-one? Was good.
Nah,
how's the bag looking?
We haven't done one-on-ones, but the bag's been looking pretty sharp in the workouts though.
Word. Well, we still got to get some more guys. I was hoping Sean was gonna come up a couple weeks ago just so I could ask him, because I gotta do my little investigative journalism.
Sure. You got to. Hey. Hey, I wouldn't respect you if you didn't.
Word. But let's get out of here. Appreciate you coming through,
no doubt,
as always. And I hope we'll do at least one more before the season starts.
For sure.
And then you'll be on your way. I'll still be here. The door will always be open. But I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming through, and thank you to everyone for listening.
Appreciate it.
Peace.